co-chairs of that committee, and I put the other committee members' names in the bulletin just so you would know who they are. They have been working very hard. You might not have been aware of it because they've been trying to get to the point where they can make a report to you, which they're going to do today, but they've been working very hard. And you'll actually, when you look at your estimate of giving card in your stewardship packet, you'll see there's a place for you to make a pledge to the general fund, but also the building fund. And so Spencer's going to tell us about what's going on with that. Thank you, Spencer.
Thank you, Steve, and good morning. Our church purchased the adjacent empty lot right behind us here in March of 2011. We also purchased the Scott Mebbin Mill in May of 2016, and those two lots added 1.6 acres to our church campus. After the Scott Mebbin Mill building was purchased, the church session created the building committee. Soon thereafter, the church congregation participated in a survey which prioritized the congregational need for more building space, more parking, and to maintain existing green space. The survey pointed out needs for a gymnasium, a new kitchen fellowship hall space, and a stage. After the church survey was completed, the building committee worked toward a family life center proposal. The committee reviewed the possibility of rehabbing the existing Scott Mebbin Mill. The cost, as well as the existing building layout, was not conducive for this type of building. The session approved the demolition of the mill building, and the demo was completed this past April. Based on the church survey, discussions with church members, visits to other family life centers, and lots of prayer, the building committee is proposing to build a new family life center. We want to invite you and encourage you to attend one of the two scheduled town hall meetings. One is tomorrow night, and one is during gym night, Wednesday, October 3rd. Both are at 6 p.m. downstairs in the fellowship hall. We want to present our concept for the building. When you leave the sanctuary today, there will be posters in the breezeway in the back and in the church office hallway. Please look at these visual aids and begin to think about what this new building can mean to our congregation. We'll explain these pictures in detail, so please try to attend. If you're unable to attend and have questions, please bring these to anyone on the building committee. This concept includes what the building committee believes are the most important characteristics needed in the new building. Please give prayerful thought and consideration on how this building can further the mission of our church. The building committee thanks you.
Well, this is an exciting time in the life of our congregation, exciting possibilities. So we would encourage you to come to one of those meetings, that way you can see a little more closely what they're talking about, and then they can answer, they can dialogue with you and answer any questions that you have. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll join in the call to worship, the words you'll find in your bulletin. My soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is our portion, therefore we will wait for him.
Like never before, oh my soul.
Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we gather in this place with a purpose. Our purpose is to worship you, to declare your worth, to declare your glories. Lord, you are to be worshiped and praised above all other loves in our life. And that is what we seek to do purely from our hearts this day through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. You know, that's the desire of my heart, that Jesus Christ would be praised in this place and in my life. But I also know that I'll fall short of that desire. There are times that I don't praise Jesus as I should. And the same is true of you. So let us confess our sin together using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we say that Christ is the head of the church, and that Jesus is to be Lord of our lives. But in practice, we have denied that truth. We want to be in charge of our own lives. We have tried to stay in charge and push you out of the driver's seat. But in so doing, we have made a mess of our lives and of your world. So help us to get our priorities straight and to get things back in our lives where they need to be, with you as the one who is Lord of all. Amen. You know, there are different ways to say that God has forgiven you. One quote that I heard recently that really spoke to me is this one. There is more mercy in Christ than there is sin in us. Stop and think about that. There's more mercy in Christ than there is sin in us. Now, some people say, whoa, wait a minute, that's not right, because then you're saying, well, I can sin all I want to, and there's always more mercy in Christ. Well, Paul talked about that. He said, no, you misunderstand. It's not an encouragement to sin, but it's still true. There's more mercy in Christ than there is sin in us. Paul said, where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. The good news of the gospel is God's grace is greater than our sin. In Christ we are forgiven. Amen. Invite all the children to come forward now for the children's sermon. As they're coming, greet someone close by you and let them know you're glad to see them today.
I saw a picture of you on Facebook. Y'all come up here. I saw a picture of you on Facebook. Your hair is all fixed up nice. Don't fall. Everett, you are growing. All right, glad to see all of you today. Look what I've got with me today. You know what this is? Do you have one at home? I hope you do. I hope maybe there's maybe a children's Bible that you might use at home. Yeah, but this is the Bible like we use as, you know, adults. Now, there are all kinds of books in here, all kinds of different books. You know how many books there are in the Bible?
1,000.
Less than 1,000, but greater than 10. Anybody know how many books there are in the Bible? 66. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. They all have all kinds of different names. As I flip through here, some of these are named after people, like John or Isaiah. Some of them are named after, like, kings. All kinds of different names. But there's one particular book in the Bible that you might not know about because we don't talk about it that much. It's kind of short, and it's in the Old Testament. It's called Lamentations. It's kind of a long name. Now, it's based on the word lament. You know what lament is? Lament is like when I'm sad. Are you ever sad? I am sometimes. Sometimes it's because of something going on in my life. Or sometimes, like today, it's cloudy and kind of gloomy and you kind of feel a little sad, you know. Well, these people that lived a long time ago, they had reason to be sad because somebody, you see, Everett's got the Bible. He's going to turn to it. Good job, Everett. These people lived through a really tough time where some people came in and destroyed their city and their homes. And it was really bad. I mean, really bad. And so you know what they did? They said, God, I am really sad. I want you to make things better. And that's what this whole book is about. I'm going to be reading a little bit of it for the sermon. But you know, that's what we can do sometimes. When you're sad, you can tell God about it. Say, God, I am really sad today. I want you to make things better in my life. God is ready to hear whatever you have to say about how you feel. Okay? Let's have a prayer right now. Now, I don't know how you're feeling today, so I can't tell God what each one of you is feeling, but let's just talk to God. You listen, and I'll pray. Dear God, thank you that you love us and you care about how we feel today. Maybe some of us might be a little sad. Whatever's making us sad, help us to talk to you about it, tell you about it, and know that you care. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks for being good listeners. Now you can head off to Children's Church. What do you call someone who every time you see them, they're talking about how bad things are in their life and how terrible it is and, oh, it's so awful? What do you call somebody like that? I didn't hear everything you said. I hope you didn't call out a name. Well, we might call them a whiner, a complainer, a grouch. But that's not really what I'm talking about this morning. If you'll look with me at Lamentations chapter 3, page 759 in your pew Bible, and you can go ahead and turn to the New Testament lesson as well. Not talking about that today with Lamentation. This is something where the person who writes this really is sad because there really are really bad things. I didn't want to go into details with the children, but, you know, this was when the Babylonians came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the walls, destroyed the temple, killed people, took people captive. I mean, unless you have lived through something like that in your home, your hometown, you don't know how bad that is. And so they lamented, as well they should. And yet there is hope in the midst of lament. So look with me at Lamentations chapter 3. Let's start with verse 21. In the midst of all this lament and how bad things are, it says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Even though all this bad stuff has gone on, there's hope. Why? Verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And then in James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, after we've read in the Old Testament about God's great faithfulness, how God is always faithful, how God's mercies don't change, then we turn to the New Testament in James chapter 1 and read, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Now, God has a lot of different names in the Bible. Here's one. The Father of the heavenly lights, the one who rules over the heavens and the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, that's interesting. You've got God as the Father of the heavenly lights, but one who does not change like shifting shadows. For example, if
if I were standing outside today and if the sun were shining, where I'm standing would cast a shadow. And if I stood here long enough, what would happen to that shadow? If I didn't move, the shadow would move, you know, like on a sundial, you know. The shadow, even though I'm not moving. See, the shadows are moving. Why? Even though I'm standing still, you know, because of the movement of the earth and the position of the sun, you know, the shadows move. He says God's not like that. God is not like shifting shadows. God stays the same. God is faithful. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thomas Chisholm was born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky at the end of the time of the Civil War. He never went to high school or college, but he did write over 1,200 poems. When he was in his 50s, he sent a batch of his poems to William Runyon, who was a musician at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Runyon was struck by one of the poems in particular, so much so that he decided, I'm going to take this poem that this man wrote and I'm going to put it to music. It became then a favorite of the president of Moody Bible Institute as well as the students. It kind of became the school's unofficial theme song. Then in time, George Beverly Shea introduced it to Great Britain at the Billy Graham Crusade in London in 1954. What was the name of that song? Great is Thy Faithfulness. You chose it as your number two favorite. Later in life, Thomas Chisholm wrote these words. My income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me until now. Although I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of the covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness. Did you hear that? Impaired health, low income, but unfailing faithfulness of God with a response of astonishing gratefulness. Now, you know the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, but you may not know why it was written, why he wrote those words. He didn't write them out of a place of, oh, my life is wonderful and great, and I'm going to praise God. He wrote it from a place of, things are not always so great, and yet God is faithful. So, if you look in your bulletin at my questions and God's answers, as I read these words from Lamentations chapter 3, which Thomas Chisholm used as the background for the hymn, I thought of four questions that we asked that these verses answer. First, why doesn't God destroy me? Now, that's not a question that I ask every day or even think about. Why doesn't God destroy me? It's kind of a negative, kind of a downer of a question. And yet, it's worth considering because of my sin and God's wrath against sin, I deserve to be destroyed. And yet, why doesn't God destroy me? And the answer comes back from Lamentations 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Now that word translated great love is a Hebrew word, hesed. That's the Hebrew word, hesed. It's hard to translate by one word. It's translated by words like love, compassion, grace, truth, faithfulness, goodness, forgiveness. It's really all of those things rolled into one. It's the loyal love of God, God's love that he has stuck on us and it will not let go. That kind of loyal, never-failing, faithful love. It's because of the Lord's great faithful love that we are not consumed. Now, that's the opposite of what we have, most of us have learned in life, because you learn early on that you get what you deserve, right? If you're a good boy in preschool, you'll get a treat at the end of the day. If you study hard in school, you will get good grades. If you're not getting good grades, it's because you didn't study hard. If you go to the right college, you will get a good job. all these things that we are told that don't always turn out to be true. See, we're told all these things and we think, oh, if I do good, things will go well. If I live good, God will love me. No, God's loyal love is not based on how good I am. In fact, God's loyal love comes to me in spite of who I am. And his loyal love is stuck on me. It's because of that that we are not consumed. That leads to the second question. How do I know God will keep on loving me? Okay, you said that God loves me, and that's great, but how do I know God's going to keep on loving me? And the answer comes back, God's compassions never fail. Think about that word, compassion, first in the singular. God has compassion on you when you are down. He cares. And it's not just compassion from afar, it's near compassion. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Talking about Jesus. But we have one who has been tempted in every way we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You see, God's compassion is not from afar, it's near, because Jesus understands. He has lived this life. He's faced the challenges that you face, the temptations. He knows what it's like. It's compassion from near, not from afar. But then notice, it's not in the singular. It's in the plural. His compassions never fail. To me, I think about, to illustrate that, it's the difference of taking a little dropper, filling up and pinching at the top and getting one little drop of water to fall out, as versus standing beneath a waterfall and just being drenched. You see, God's compassion is not just one little drop, that's all you get. No, it's like that great waterfall and just being drenched with God's compassions that never fail us. There's a song that Twyla Paris recorded that I play in my car sometime. And, you know, I don't know how many of you listen to Christian music, a variety of Christian music, but, you know, listening to music for me, it may not do this for you, but for me, it's a way to help me meditate on what the scriptures say and to hear it in a different way than just reading it. But Twyla Paris recorded a song, and part of the words are, out. This is from John chapter 1, out of his fullness we all receive one blessing after another. Out of God's fullness, the fullness of that great waterfall, out of God's fullness, we all have received one blessing after another. One and then another and then another and then another. God's compassions never fail. Leads to the third question, when will God give me what I need? I like the when question. Because you know when I want it? Right now. Yeah, so I like these when. When will God give me what I need? And what is the answer? His compassions are new every morning. Does that remind you of a story in the Bible, new every morning? Remember the story of the Israelites in the wilderness? They needed something to eat. God said, I will provide for you. And every morning, except for on the Sabbath, go out and collect this food. And when they first got it, they looked at it and said, what is it? And that's what they named it. That's what the word manna means. What is it? And so God provided just what they needed every day without fail, exactly what they needed. Now, you know what? We want to store it up. But you couldn't do that with manna. It would turn bad. Same thing with God's blessings. So I don't want just what I need for today. I want to, you know, you see all these storage units around? I want to get a storage unit and fill it up with God's blessings. So if I'm running a little low, I can go to the storage unit. No, just what you need just for today. Today's need, today's blessings, and that's enough. And I know that sometimes we don't feel like that's enough. We want the storage. But he says, no, today's need and today's blessing. I'll give you exactly what you need for today. His compassions are new every morning. And then that leads to the last question. What is my hope for the future? Talked about the past and the present, but what is my hope for the future? And the answer is, great is your faithfulness. That's all I need for the future. I need to know that God is a faithful God and that God's faithfulness is great. Someone has said, great is his faithfulness and great is our fickleness. And isn't that true? We all are so fickle, but God is faithful. That we can contrast ourselves to God. Now, even though I'm changing and messing things up, and God is faithful. God is the same. God's blessings are new every morning. You may grow weary and be ready to give up, but God will not give up on you. You may greatly disappoint those closest to you, but God will not disappoint you. You may fail at your job or your marriage or fail at being a parent or a grandparent, but God will never fail you. On what do I stake my hope for the great unknown future? I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what it holds for me, for this church, for you. How can I possibly have a hope great enough for all the possibilities of what might happen in the future? And the answer is, great is your faithfulness. My hope is in the Lord. I read a story about toward the end of World War II, during the liberation of Europe, Allied troops found a crudely written inscription on the walls of a basement of a place in Germany where someone was hiding from the Nazi Gestapo. And crudely written on the wall were these words: I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when feeling it not. I believe in God, even when God is silent. Those are tough words to say and mean. Sometimes we struggle with that. And yet, I believe we can believe in God even when we feel like God is silent because of God's great faithfulness. You know, God has been faithful to this church for 168 years. A lot of twists and turns in the history of this church. A lot of ups and downs. But God has been faithful to Christians worshiping right here in this place. Do you realize when the last building program was in this church? Spencer was talking about the building committee and their work. Do you realize when the last building program was in this church? 1964. I was 2 years old. I wasn't here, of course, but I was 2 years old. Do you think maybe it's time for a new generation to rise up and do something new for God in this place? I believe that's possible, and I believe that God will be faithful to us. Just this past week, a group of us went to the Billy Graham Training Center, the Cove in Asheville, and we heard a great concert by C.C. Winans. C.C. Winans is an African-American singer, the all-time best-selling gospel artist. You might want to check her out. She's a wonderful singer, and we got to hear a concert with her. Let me tell you, it was not like being in Graham Presbyterian Church on Sunday morning. She said that, you know, she's used to in her church, when anybody speaks or sings, people respond. You know, they say things back, or they clap, or they raise their hands, or, you know, that's just not our tradition. Now, I'm not saying that one is better than the other. I understand there are different cultures and different traditions. But you know what? When she sang and when she talked, I could tell that she was excited about Jesus. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hands or clap your hands this morning, but I am asking you, are you excited about Jesus? We need to be excited about Jesus. Why? Because he's the faithful. He's the only one in my life who is always faithful to me. One that I can always count on. One I can depend on. Every morning I can praise God because his mercies are new. He is faithful, always faithful to me. Can you get excited about that? There you go. One of the songs that she sang was this, "He's Never Failed Me Yet." She said it was a song that her mother sang to her when she was just a little child, and then she, I think, kind of changed it a little bit and updated it, but still the same meaning. He's never failed me yet. That's so true. Now, there are times that I've wondered about that. There's time because of the circumstances in my life, I'm like, God, are you still there? God, are you helping me? I don't know if I can get through this or not. This is tough. It's hard. But then in the end, faithful people through the centuries have testified, He's never failed me yet. I hope you know that kind of faithful God, not just from a verse in the Bible, not just from a song in the hymn book, but in your own heart and life, so that you can say, He's never failed me yet, and I'm going to continue to trust in Him. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as I think about the circumstances of these people from the time of Lamentations, their homes destroyed, their place of worship destroyed, their friends and family, many killed, taken from them, I can't imagine what all of that would be like, and yet they still had hope in You. So Lord, remind us that You are faithful, and that those things in our life right now that are causing us to be sad or causing us to doubt, they are not signs that You are not faithful. In fact, You prove Your faithfulness even in the middle of those challenges and trials. So, Lord, it is our desire in this place today to worship You and to declare once again, great is Your faithfulness. Lord, we pray that You would be especially near and faithful to all those that we have mentioned this morning, those on the prayer list, the two that have been mentioned that have cancer, and others that are struggling. Be near to them. Help them and their families to know that You will not fail them. Your faithfulness extends to them too. So Lord, we thank You and praise You even as we make our prayers together in the name of Jesus, praying together the prayer He taught His followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me invite you now to find the affirmation of faith in your bulletin. This was written for children, but you know, sometimes I find that things that are written for children mean more to me than things written for adults, because they get right to the point and I can actually understand them. So let's use the words of this affirmation of faith to express our faith. Let me invite you to stand as you're able, say what you believe. Who are you? I am a child of God. What does it mean to be a child of God? That I belong to God who loves me. What makes you a child of God? Grace, God's free gift of love that I do not deserve and cannot earn. Don't you have to be good for God to love you? No, God loves me in spite of all I do wrong. How do you thank God for this gift of love? I promise to love and trust God with all my heart. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now respond to God's loyal love, the kind of love that sticks to us and will not let go, in the gifts that we present to God's glory. Well, Lord our God, the only way that we can present these gifts and present ourselves to you is because of all the ways that you have been faithful to us. So we remember that as we give now and ask that you continue to use us for your glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
That's one of my favorite hymns, too, and I've sung it all through my life. And I remember there have been times that chorus, "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided." There have been times that I've stood in church and sung that and thought, you know, I'm not sure if that's true right now because my needs are great. But he's never failed me yet. Great is God's faithfulness. So as you go from this place, rejoice find hope in the midst of despair, knowing that God is faithful to you and He will never fail you.